For Psalm 100, as we're in today, Psalm 100, praise the name of the Lord our God. You can turn there in your copy of the scriptures. It's quite a leap in the number of psalms. We start last week on Psalm 19, but the two psalms really are very similar and they go together well, aren't they? Psalm 19 to Psalm 100, and Psalm 19 talking about the glory of God revealed in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. And in my mind, it's no problem going from seeing the revealed glory of God right to a psalm of praise. Psalm 100 is a supreme psalm of praise. Revelation, we talked about general revelation, the heavens declare the glory of God, and then specific revelation, the law of the Lord, the Bible, God's word is perfect. And just a wonderful psalm. No one has seen God. Jesus, the ultimate revelation, the only God who is at the Father's side has made him known. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God, and wonderful. Psalm 100, then, is our psalm for today, a psalm for giving thanks, a psalm of praise, and we'll unpack that a little bit today. Follow as I read. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Wow. What an awesome psalm. Pray with me once more. Thank you, God, so much for this wonderful blessing of a psalm reminding us that you are worthy of all praise and your people should be thankful. We live in a very unthankful world. And that mentality and attitude wears on us, and it's easy to adopt that. Just entitled, you know, what's for me? What have you done for me lately? And just forget that we've just been blessed. Everything we have is grace. And so help us today as we unpack this psalm of thanksgiving or a psalm for giving thanks. And that, God, you would transform our minds to transform our actions to people of praise, where, God, you are supreme in our life. You are first. We're not the grumblers grumbling about what's wrong or focusing on everything that's not right or what you're not doing, but those that praise you for what you are doing and who you are and what you have done. And God, help us in that. It's a very negative world we live in. It's easy to get sucked into that vortex. So help us today. We thank you and love you. And pray that you would that we would do a good job, that we'd be better at praising you, because you are amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. The joy of praise, Psalm 100. The joy of praise. Praise is a joyous thing. This is a inspired part of Psalm 100. A psalm for giving thanks is one of the few that we have the purpose of the psalm. Hey, why do we have this psalm? This is a psalm for giving thanks. When you read this, you should read this with a spirit of thankfulness and be giving thanks to God as you read this. We have to admit we have much to be thankful for. And thanksgiving should be a normal part of every person's life, but certainly the Christian. And as I say, as I truly do believe, it's a very unthankful world. It's not hard to see that in the world, is it? It's a very unthankful world and very entitled, I deserve it world, and that kills thanks. Thankfulness, a psalm for giving thanks, is a key part in worship. If you're going to worship God well, you should have a heart of thanks. That just goes along, it goes hand in hand. You have to. First verse, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Now, I understand that not all of us are musical. That's a given, right? Not all of us have a singing voice or have musical skill, no timing or notes or even can sing in tune. I have a brother who I love who he couldn't carry a tune in a bucket of water, right? He can't. But boy, I tell you what, when you're singing, you hear him. Now, he's out of key. Sometimes he's out of time, but man, he's singing. We don't all have that voice, but we're commanded to make a joyful noise to the Lord. We're commanded to lift our voices to the Lord. And sometimes when we're here singing together, it's not so joyful. I understand we're not all musical. I understand there's also the sort of social uncomfortable stuff that goes on. And then nobody wants to be the person that sings a solo in church, right? Where you start singing and no one else is following you, right? So sometimes you're just careful like that. But be conscious of that. Be conscious of the fact that you are worshiping God. It doesn't matter if you make a mistake. It doesn't matter if you're a little out of tune. Do your best. Raise your voice. Make a joyful noise. Get after it. There was a time many years ago, I would say it was probably 18 to almost 20 years ago, where we would take groups of people. We started out with just a handful of us, but several years in a row, we'd take groups of people down to Kansas City, Missouri, because they did not have any musicians in their church, inner city church, and music was very important to their culture. So we said, hey, we'll help you with that. We'll just do a music program. That was a blast, by the way, doing that. We loved that. Our men's group would sing. We had an excellent quartet that I was a guitarist for. And I was going to say part of, but I don't want you to assume I could sing in a quartet. It's just not my skill set. But loved it. A lot of fun. We'd go down there and we'd play music for them, and it was really joyous and awesome. Well, one year, about the third year or so, we brought our whole choir down there, most of our choir, like 35 of us went down there. It was awesome. And so this little church in inner city Kansas City had 6 people in their choir. Now I find in our kind of church, people are embarrassed to call 6 people a choir. That's crazy. I always try to, let's get a choir going. Well, there's only 6 of us. Fine, right? That's a choir. Well, for them, they didn't care. Let me tell you something. I'm not exaggerating. That 6 people outsang our 35. They outsang us. They sang over us. Why? Because they were making a joyful noise to the Lord. They got after it. You could hear them from blocks away with 6 people, right? And we're all Iowans, you know. Oh, I hope no one hears me singing. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. Sing. Lift your voice. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. So you sing, make a noise to the Lord. The God is the object of our thanksgiving. That's why we make a joyful noise. And again, we live in this world where everything is based on performance. What can you do for me? You're hired because you can provide a service to someone, right? They can make money off of you. That's not how God's economy works. If it was, and that's what he expected and wanted, he would make us all great. That's actually quite the opposite of the way God's economy works. He chooses the lowly, the ones that are unskilled, that are unworthy in this world, so that his greatness can be on display. You see, because God is the object of our praise, the means and the method and the greatness of the praiser doesn't matter. That you do praise matters. Do you see that? It's God is the object, not you, not your singing voice, not how skillful you are, but God himself. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, not to be heard, not to be thought, well, oh man, look, you know, I have some friends, man, those guys can sing. They could cut a record. It's not the point. It's not the point. God wants to hear you praise to him. He is the object of our praise. And notice this, all the earth. Now that's not going to happen right now, is it? All the earth, majority of people on this earth hate God. But one day, all the earth will praise him. That's what's right. That's what should be. And certainly, for us, we know that at least our part we have to do, right? Praising God. All the earth should be praising God. He is that worthy. And it's not even enough. If we all together would praise him, it still would not be enough. That's how great God is. Serve the Lord with gladness. Again, notice this. Notice the progression here. Give thanks. Make a joyful noise. Everyone should be doing this. Have gladness in your heart. This is a privilege. You should be filled with joy to praise this great God. Joyously serve Him. Music, of course, is in view. Our music should be full of joy. And not all, this is just one stripe, right? Sometimes there's a place for lament and things like that all through the Psalms. But music, our music should have at least elements of joy in it. It should be a good thing. You should be happy about it. Praise is an act of service. Serve the Lord with gladness. You ever met one of those old sanctified people who get sinfully angry because a bunch of kids clapped during a song at camp? You ever met anybody like that? I've met several, right? Unbiblical. Those people are heretics. Think about that. Those people are heretics. Serve the Lord with gladness, right? Get after it. Clap your hands, go for it, right? Have joy. Have some joy in your music. Don't squash that spirit. Why would you do that? Why would you quash the spirit of someone who's praising the Lord? I always remember what Spurgeon said when someone got on his chops about that. He said, oh, if you only knew what I was holding back. If you only knew what I was holding back. Serving the Lord is wonderful. Of course I'm full of joy. Praise God with singing. Notice that. Come into His presence with singing. Corporate praise brings us into the presence of God in a special way. And it's as if we were approaching His temple. We'll see that again here in a moment. Remember who we sing to. Remember why we sing to Him and how great He is. And let your joy be known to those around you. Get after it and be full of praise. And however God will accept you, you know, be careful about judging people for their exuberance. That's crazy town. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. This is the expression then. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He is great. Praise Him. So the Psalm of Praise then tells us a couple of reasons why. First of all, verse 3, as we already saw, God is God. That's the natural reason. Know that the Lord, He is God. Of course you should praise Him. He is the only God, and He is the only one worthy of praise. And there's a lot of people who praise a lot of things in this world. God is the only one worthy of praise. God is the Creator. Notice that He made us. And so everything, He's worthy of praise because of that. He is the owner, we are His. As Creator, He is owner, we are His. We are the sheep of His pasture. So since God calls, He owns us, He calls the shots, of course we praise Him. And notice again, I love how the psalmist is building this. The Lord is God, of course He is. He made everything, He owns everything. And then is this just a repetition, we are His sheep? Or is this a new expansion? I think it's a new expansion, isn't it? God is God, He is the Creator, He owns everything. He owns us again. No, we are His sheep. It's a specific type of ownership there. Notice that. He has taken possession of us. We are His sheep. You of all people, if you are in Christ, have the most to be thankful for and the most to praise God for. You are His very own. And He uses this illustration of sheep in this one here just to sort of point out sort of the relationship there. The shepherd-sheep relationship. How God sees us, how we interact with Him. In other words, His care, His provision, His protection, His guidance, all of those kind of things. John 10, 11 to 15. I am the good shepherd, Jesus speaking. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Wow. Boy, if something's going to get you thankful this morning, that's going to be it right there, amen? Think about that. The shepherd, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. We are His sheep. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are His, we are the sheep of His pasture. Psalm 23 talks about God as shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I've always chewed on this, especially lately, in the last couple of years. And I think I'm landing on that this is talking of God's provision, because the whole rest of the psalm is about God's provision. But it seems to me that I shall not want could also mean I choose not to want. I choose to just be content with what God gives me, right? I shall not want. I shall not be greedy and going, I don't know. I think it's probably actually, I know that God is going to provide for me, is what he means there. Could be either one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And here's the I will statements. I will fear no evil. These are faith statements. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is what the psalmist says. Praise God. We are his sheep. Isn't that awesome? To think that the creator of the universe has chosen you for his own special possession. That's amazing. If that don't make you thankful, you got to work on it. I don't know what will. We are his people. We are his chosen possession. We belong to God. So give him praise. Give him praise. Verses 4 and 5. Command. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. Now you remember, this is a psalm for giving thanks. And if you'll remember back, if you were here a couple months ago, we talked about the Psalms, the book of Psalms, in nature and the general nature of the Psalms, and the five-part division of the Psalms, and as Psalm 100 is part of that division. It's one of the divisions that goes forward, and then the nature of those Psalms change and what they're for. And you can imagine with me this Psalm 100, people coming to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. So that is certainly in view here. That as they sang and they have the psalm of thanksgiving, they're walking up to Jerusalem, they're thinking of Jesus, of the Lord, and they're singing praise to him. One day we'll be walking up to the temple thinking of Jesus, and they're singing praise to God. And where are they going? They're going through the gates, up the path, and they're going to the temple of God, where, remember, the very presence of God at one time anyway was, not now. We don't even have the temple now. But the Shekinah glory, he made his presence there in the Holy of Holies. And that's what they have in view here. We are coming into his courts. We're coming into his presence through his gates. And we're coming into his presence to praise him. But as I read this, and there's a few other psalms we'll look at. Think about what he's saying here. In a human sense, we would say, we're walking up to God's house. We're going into God's house. We're going into his presence to praise him. To me, this reads like, because the earthly was always a shadow or a picture of the reality. God's temple is in heaven. And to me, this is like we are coming into spiritual realms. We're entering into his very presence, singing, praising God, into his very heavenly temple. It's pretty amazing. Enter his gates. Come to where he lives. Come to God's house. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. The Lord is good. See, thanksgiving imperative. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Perform your vows to the Most High. Imperatives. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Let's say this. Maybe note Psalm 95 in your Bible. If you're a person that really struggles with bellowing out a good hymn or a song and you just kind of worry about that, note that in your Bible. Meditate on it. Think through that. This imperative, let us come. God is a great God. Let us come into his presence. Get that mindset on a Sunday morning. Corporately, we are entering into the presence of God. Think of yourself as in the throne, the heavenly throne room of God. His very presence is right there because he says, wherever you gather together, I'll be there among you, right? Jesus said, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. He is here with us right now. Can't see him physically, but he is here. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I mean, think of all these Thanksgiving imperatives. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful and in thanksgiving. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ for you. Our praise and thankfulness really intertwined in these. Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you were taught, abounding, overflowing in thanksgiving. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Again, repeated on my slide anyway. As we just remembered the Lord's Supper, remember what we read? And Jesus, when he had given thanks, took it and broke. It's just got to be our attitude. We got to work on thankfulness and let God work that in our life. Give praise to God. Why? His character. Know that the Lord, he is God. Notice the things about his character that are all throughout this psalm. He is God. He is the great king. He is our creator. Again, darn it, right there. He is our creator. Is he who made us. He owns us, his character. We have a relationship with him. He is good and merciful. Notice this. For the Lord is good. Come into his presence. Why? For the Lord is good. Sing to the Lord with joy. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Remember that repeated phrase in the Psalms, in here in the Chronicles? Give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His steadfast love or his mercy endures forever. He provides for and protects us. He cares for us. We are his sheep. His love is eternal. His steadfast love endures to all generations. Praise God for what he has done. So praise God for who he is. Praise God for his mighty works. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Again, they flipped it on Psalm 150, what he has done and who he is. They go hand in hand. That's throughout the scriptures. God is commanding us to remember what he's already done and praise him for it. Be thankful. You ever had a time in your life where you have, all right? I know you have, but you have really gone out of your way, sacrificed, and tried to help somebody, right? You've worked at it, and what did you get in return? Sometimes nothing. They don't even say anything. Grumpy sometimes. What have you done for me lately? How did that hit you? Were you eager to do it again? It's hard, isn't it, right? Now think about that. How often in life do you think that God is there working, doing excellent things for you, providing for you, and just serving and being God, and yet we go away unthankful? That's a shame, isn't it? We got to do better. We got to think about it. Who is God? Let's meditate. And there are things we see him doing that we know. Go back. Thank you, God, for this. Meditate on that. Praise God. Confess that to other people. You know what? God showed up in my life. Let me tell you what he did. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him for his excellent greatness. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. God gave us his word, and praise him for that. Praise him for his faithfulness, his salvation, his Holy Spirit, heaven, or a future with him. There's much we have to praise God. For Jesus Christ himself, as we just remembered in the Lord's table. In Jesus, we have reconciliation with God. He died for us. He restored our purpose for living. He's a reason for thanksgiving. And he gives us forgiveness for sins. And that's something to praise God for, certainly. That's the most pertinent, pressing thing to praise God for, that he provided salvation. Thanksgiving is something that we will all do together forever. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to go back here. When we read this together, and we'll come back to that revelation there, that's our future. Think about that. The specific people, the elders, They were there. The specific created beings, the seraphim, seemed to be in view there. And then everyone around the throne were praising God. And there's this idea in the world where people say, well, I don't want to go to heaven. It's boring. All you're doing is singing, right? You got the choir robe on and people, well, that's boring. Do you get the sense that when we're reading this, that it's going to be boring? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It's going to be amazing when we are finally physically in God's presence. So this praise that we have today is this forerunner, this shadow, this precursor of us standing in the very presence of God. It's what we are going to be doing for eternity. It's not the only thing we're going to be doing, right? But it is what we are going to be doing. And everything else that we do is going to be revolving around praise because God is great. So those people who are scoffers, they're right in one sense. That is what heaven is going to be. We are going to be around praising God all the time, but they're wrong, and that it's going to be boring. It's going to be amazing, and can't wait myself. And I think that should drive our hearts. It should drive our hearts forward to better praise now as we think about it. This is what I'm going to be doing forever. I need to work on that. Be thankful. Okay, I think I went too far. I want to look at that Revelation passage. Notice that all the angels were standing around the throne. All the elders were there. The four living creatures, those are the seraphim. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Amen. Blessing, glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Awesome. So let's work on it. We already saw several thanksgiving imperatives. Praise, thanksgiving, worship, right worship with thankfulness. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When it's difficult, be thankful. When it's good, certainly be thankful. When it's easy, be thankful. We got to do better. We have so much to be thankful for. And I know God has used that in my life over the years where there's just been a negative spirit, people grumbling and complaining, and I just said, well, here's what I'm thankful for. I've had many people tell me in counseling that something they learned when they're at the factory and all the women are complaining about how bad their husband is, that they would either say nothing or say, I love my husband, he's great. I'm so thankful that God gave me a husband. Right? Just foreign to this crazy world that we live in. Be thankful. You have so much to be thankful for if you're in Christ. Remember all the things that God has done. You, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the work of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. One of the greatest things I miss, of course, my dad's 76 now. He would be long retired. But one of the greatest things I miss about working with my dad was after God got a hold of him, after God got a hold of him, and after a year or so, of maybe not even that much, maybe 6 months to a year of God working on him, the man would sing everywhere we were. And we got so many gospel opportunities from that, where we'd be down in someone's basement, and my dad would be singing one of our Iron Man songs, and he'd say, oh, how I love Jesus, at the top of his lungs in someone's house where they're working. You ever done that? I think you should, don't you? And we got a lot of conversations out of that. And he wasn't manufacturing something. That was coming out of his heart. He loved the Lord, and he was just singing. And I think that's what this psalm is really, look, you have made me glad by your work. I sing. I sing for joy. That's natural. That's what Christians do. How great are your works? Your thoughts are very deep. Be thankful. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of his wondrous works. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praise? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, it's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I memorized this in the New King James. That's why I almost said, and not we ourselves, from the New King James. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. Remember what God has done for you. And let that heart of thankfulness drive you into lips of praise. And just live that way. And I'll end with this portion of scripture from the New Testament, Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Notice those qualities we're supposed to be working on. Bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. That's a high calling. As the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Just like we were talking about in the Lord's table. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to indeed which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Wow. What do you think would happen? And it's going to happen one day. It's going to happen by fire when God wipes out all of his enemies. But let's just use our imaginations here and let's think about today. This is where we live. I'm going to live here right now today, right? What would happen in this world if every person would adopt an attitude of thankfulness? What do you think would happen in this world? It would transform this world. This world would be flipped on its head. One of the things that's been so striking to me in working in retail for a short time is how many people steal. It's crazy how much theft goes on, how much effort they have to put into it. It's nuts. Why? They're selfish. What would happen if everyone was thankful? I think everyone would stop stealing. Just be content with what you have. There'd be a lot less grumbling, a lot less arrogance in this world, if you're thankful. It's very difficult to be arrogant and thankful at the same time. Huh? A lot of times when people are grumbling and complaining and unthankful, it's because they're full of pride. They think they deserve better and deserve more. That's a horrible part of our world. What do you think the world would be like? Now, we know that's not going to happen because there's too many God haters. God's told us that. That's not our concern. What would happen in God's church if everyone would get real thankful? Think about it, right? Be pretty sweet, wouldn't it? Huh? If we're always thankful, you can always find something to be thankful for. You can always find something to be grumbling about, or you can always find something to be thankful for. What would happen in God's church if we would obey this? Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We have so much to be thankful for. The things that we don't like should be really relegated down, down, down as thankfulness is raised up, because look at what God has done with us and in us and among us. Look what God has done. Look at what God is doing. Look at what God will do. With thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him 3 times in one passage. I think we need to get this, don't you? Be thankful. It's a psalm for thanksgiving. And praise God for all that he has done. Let's pray. God, forgive us for our lack of thankfulness. I know my own heart. It's just so easy to just be consumed with the things that are going on and the work that has to be done and overbusyness and all the stuff, and just forget and foolishly not pause to thank you for who you are, what you've done, what you're doing. And I can't help but think that there are many blessings that I've missed out on as a result. God, we are supremely thankful. You are so wonderful. You are our God. You've made us. We are your special possession. We are your sheep. Thank you, Lord, for not judging us according to our works, but according to the works of Christ. You are awesome. And God, just continue to work in us. We know you're not done with us. We know that you are gracious and merciful to us, and that you have good for us in the present and future, and that we would express that well and have a song on our heart, a song of thanksgiving as we go on into this world, and that you would use us to change the life of some poor, dear, lost soul, even this week, for an open door of witness. In Jesus' name, amen.